All right, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 today, and we'll finish chapter 9. We're going through systematically through 2 Corinthians, a lot of things that Paul personally have shared, and I hope it was an eye-opener for me in many areas. Let's stand as we read verse 9 to 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9 to number 15. I'll read verse 9 and then you read verse 10 and so on until verse number 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 9. As it is written, he had dispersed abroad, he had given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Verse 10. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Verse 12. Verse 13. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Verse 14. Let's read verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we give you thanks for the unspeakable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no word, Lord, in human tongue, and even in the courts of heaven, that we can even begin to understand, Lord, the nature, the depth, the wonderful gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, Father, how undeserving we are, and yet how loving you are when you send Jesus into this world as a gift for us. And today, Lord, even as we look at the blessing of giving, help us to understand it, not from what we see people do, but from what you say and from your example. Because, Lord, this world needs to see not what charities are doing. This world needs to see what Christ is doing in our lives as he gives to us his grace and his mercies and his strength. And then also what Christ is doing, Lord, in the world around. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. I pray for thy Holy Spirit to be the teacher. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, please be seated. We're going to be talking about the blessing of giving. Okay, to be honest with you, about 3 weeks ago, I intended to cover chapter 9, the whole chapter, but I thought it was going to take 3 hours, so I broke it out into different segments. And today, we want to look at primarily the blessing of giving. Okay, I'll just go through a few preliminary points before we dive into this few points that we want to actually look at. Many times, the preliminary points is merely a reminder of what we already know. But according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, don't have to turn there, Peter wanted to stir the brethren's mind by way of remembrance of the things that we need to learn. For our new visitors and all that, remember inside our bulletin, there are some follow-through, some blanks that you can follow. It's because of the, so that you can follow the message and also the verses, okay? Number one, giving is a command from God. It's a command from God to give, yes? For us, we know in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8, freely ye have received, freely give. Luke chapter 12, verse 33, sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourself bags with wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Sell that ye have. In other words, for those who truly want to follow Jesus, be willing to give up what you have and give it to others. And at the same time, spiritually then, provide for yourself eternal rewards that will not pass away. 1 Corinthians 16:2, another commandment that Paul gave to the early church. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you labor in store in him, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Paul was giving a specific instruction in the gathering of money to support Jerusalem brethren who were very affected by a big earthquake and then followed by a famine, okay? All of us will agree that this is a biblical instruction and command of God, right? It is God's instruction that as Christians we give. But God wants us to be willingly obedient to this instruction, does He not? God wants us to be willingly obedient to the instruction of giving in the Bible. And to understand it is actually, and this is important, a privilege to give to the King of Kings. It's actually a privilege to give to God. What can we do for a king like the Lord Jesus but to give not only of ourselves but of the things that we have? Another point is, it is a blessing to give. Did you know that it's a blessing to give? It's actually a blessing to give because Jesus said, Paul said, Acts chapter 20 verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Okay? In this context of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we are referring to money, but remember, we are referring also to anything and everything you give to God. Your money, your time, your service, your love for others, your ambitions, and also your future. Whatever that belongs to you, the principle of giving. Sometimes it becomes a chore to give. How many of you will agree with that? Sometimes you give and you give. I was just discussing with brethren just now that sometimes, you know, when the person serve or give of their time, and sometimes it's like, you get tired, you get difficult. There are two types of giving in the Bible. Of course, there are many types, but based on 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, there's two types. One is obligatory giving. That means you give because you have to give. No choice one. Okay? You give because you have to. But the second type of giving is willing giving. You give because you want to. Which one does God want us to have? Obligatory giving or willing giving? God wants us to be willing, right? God wants us to be willing because God loveth a cheerful giver. Okay, we feel sometimes we do not want to give so much, and all of us may have different reasons, too much, we're not prepared, don't feel like it, need to settle personal business first, then I can give, then I can serve. There was a boy in the States, I think I shared this before, probably you all don't remember, but I didn't remember. But there was this boy who was saving up for a bicycle. A bicycle cost about US$100 in the States, okay? So, at that time, he was looking forward to buying this bicycle. I'm not too sure. I'm not very good at bicycling. So, I can bike. I can go straight in my bicycle. And when I want to turn, I must get off and change my direction. I can't. Well, I can a little bit now. Okay, we'll see soon. But this particular boy was looking forward to the bicycle. And what happened was, there was a missionary who came to the church. And he was presenting the work in India, whereby he's saying that, look, there are many evangelists in India that have to walk for miles to preach to the different provinces. And he was encouraging the people to say, look, if they can have bicycles, which cost about US$100, many of the traveling evangelists could actually, it's easier for them to travel. You know what this boy actually said? The boy actually did. He actually gave to the preacher his US$100 that he was saving up for his bicycle so that the evangelists in India could go to the different provinces to preach the gospel. Maybe as we serve the Lord, someone will slam the door in our face, or things in life don't go our way and we are struggling. Some of us give but stop short in some areas we know we have to give. What should we do when we are in that state? You know, sometimes when we give, it's kind of like, we just don't feel like continuing. What should we do in those situations? Let me just give you some key thoughts. You still give because it's a principle to give. You still care because it's a principle to care as a Christian. You still love because it's a principle of God to still love. You still forgive because it's a principle to forgive. You still do the right thing because it's right. And sometimes as a Christian, it's hard for us to grasp that. But you know, that's what the God of heaven, our Savior, instructs us. When you don't feel like it, do it because you love God and because it's your duty to do it. So Paul, in this passage, addresses this issue with the Corinthian church, who is very sluggish, very slow in their giving. I must give or not. They're very slow. Paul is actually wanting to encourage them. In this particular passage we just read, Paul highlights some blessings the Corinthian church will receive as a way of encouraging them to give. You know, sometimes when you want to buy something, salespeople always say, you buy this, you have your UHP port here, you have this, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. Or sometimes, hey, you want $80 voucher? Can. You just spend $1,000, I'll give you an $80 voucher. And people say, yeah, $80 a lot. We all don't remember we actually have spent $1,000 first before you get the $80. So, in order to get us to separate or give our money or whatever, they always sell the so-called the good stuff. You know what? God is selling us some good stuff. I wouldn't put it in a salesman's way. But God says, look, I want to tell you the blessing of giving. How it will bless you. And we learned 2 weeks ago how that when we give because, not because God needs our giving, because we need God's blessing. And today God is going to tell us a few things. What are some of the blessings of giving? Okay? So, I want to say from the Bible that whatever you do, some people may go down the trail of thinking, is why should I serve? Why should I give? Why should I give my heart and service and give my time? I want to say from the Bible that whatever you do for God, whatever you do for others, when you mean it in your heart, God remembers every one of them. Amen. It will never go to waste. Some of you may be serving and you're tired. Can I encourage you? God's watching. God's taking note. Every little thing that you do that no one seems to see, you know, no one seems to see that there are three individuals behind this piano that tries to make sure the service goes on. You know, they need our encouragement too, and I believe they did a good job to try to maintain things. And no one seems to see the work that is done, but you know what God sees? Amen? Some of you who prepare quietly or try to serve in quiet ways, some of you who you may not do much, but you pray, and you earnestly pray, and you try to be an encouragement, God sees that too. Every little thing, God remembers. The person who ever do a good thing, a kind deed to others, the deed will never be a waste because the Lord is moving in that person's heart to do the right thing. Therefore, the doing of it, the person will benefit. But you know, sometimes, God moved in my heart to do, but you know, I don't see the outcome. Outcomes are not dependent on us. It's dependent on God. So when we serve, I think I was just reading a quote from Spurgeon, he was saying, the failure of the Christian life is not because we don't receive the results, it's because we don't even start to serve. That's something that, from a man of God, and that's an encouragement for us, a challenge for us. So today, maybe just consider some blessings in this passage, that as we give, what will happen? Let's look at verse number 9 as we start. Number 1, the blessing of giving is that your act of giving will always be remembered. Always. In verse 9, the Bible says, as it is written, he had dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor. This talks about a righteous man who is giving out his substance, okay? The Bible says, well, his righteousness remaineth forever. The act of his righteousness, giving is an act of God as well, the righteousness will remain forever. This is a characteristic of a righteous man, is that when he gives to those in need, as a result that God's favor is in him. Let's turn to Psalm 112, verse 9. Because the Bible says it is written, every time you read in the New Testament, and you realize the Bible says it is written, go and find the passage. Alright? It will help you to understand in more detail what the apostles are trying to say. Okay, Psalm 112 in verse 9. Paul took this verse, found in Psalm 112 and verse 9. He had dispersed, he had given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever, his horn shall be exalted with honor. He had dispersed, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. It has exact the same meaning, except there's one part which I'll touch on a little bit more in this particular verse. But because of the generosity, God says, of this person, God promises that the individual will always be remembered. How many of you remember someone who gave you something out of kindness? You didn't expect that, but the person gave it to you. I think all of us actually has some experience of that sort, right? It could be a teacher, it could be a friend, it could be your parents, if you were, all of that. Why do you remember that? Because it was a good thing that was done for you. Okay? I believe that that's the principle that God is actually saying there, that when you do something for someone out of kind, you give to that person, your righteousness will be remembered. How have you remembered the kindness of your, perhaps, loved one who is no longer around, of what the person has done for you? You know why? Because of the person's generosity and kindness to you, you remember them. You know, as a Christian, as a righteous man, according to God, when you do something, when you give, it will be forever. Remember the little boy who gave his 5 loaves and 2 fishes? You know, at that point of time, he probably did not think much about it, but up to today, people are still talking about it. Why? Because his righteousness remaineth forever. Christian, realize this, what you do in giving to someone, out of the good intentions of your heart, to help that person, God promises, it will last forever. Somewhere. Whether in a physical form or in the mind. That's something that we need to remember. Then in verse 9, Psalm 112, his horn also shall be exalted. In the Bible, it always refers to authority, strength. The comment of this horn being exalted is an ancient way of saying the person will be blessed richly by God. Okay, not only your righteousness will be remembered, God will bless you richly. Point number two. So number one, when you give, your giving, your righteousness will be remembered. So thank God for givers in our church. Thank God that God has given us givers who will give. And I'm sure all of us give in different ways. But you know, remember when you give, the blessing is it will be remembered forever. And that's literal based on what God says here. Verse number 10, point number 2. The blessing of giving is that as you give, your needs will be provided. As you give, your needs will be provided. Verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. God is the one who gives the seed to the person who sows the wheat, will give you the bread that you need. That's what he's saying here. In the context of the verse, Paul was praying for God to be providing for them. Christians, and God will. Do you believe that? Christians, do you believe that God will provide for you? You know, when we believe that God will provide for us, we don't have to rush around and be too worried. Yeah, we do our work, but God will provide for us. Sometimes God tests us in terms of our faith, but God will provide for us. Let's turn to Philippians 4:15 to 19. That has another slant to this particular passage where Paul talks about that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Blessing of giving is that as you give, your needs will be provided for. I'll just read in verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving by ye only. Paul is just telling the Philippians, you know that, no, ever since I left Macedonia, you are the only church that is communicating with me. And you were giving and you were receiving. Verse 16, and even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. See, the church kept on giving and kept on giving and kept on giving to Paul because, and you realize Paul never accepted offering from any church except the church at Philippi. Because he knew that when the Philippian church gave, it was out of their hearts. And it is demonstrated by the continuous giving. Wherever Paul is, they just kept giving. Why? Because they had a sincere heart to support the ministry of Paul. In verse 17, Paul wrote this and said, not because I desire to give. Paul made it clear, look, Philippian church, I allow you to give not because I want your things. I want you to give not because I desire your gift, but in verse 17 it says, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account. Paul actually states in his own verse, in 18, I have all and abound. In other words, I don't need anything God is providing for me. In verse 19, Paul actually prays, my God shall supply all your needs. Even as you care for me, I want to remind you, the God of heaven, who have everything in Christ, will meet your every need in Christ. And every Christian has that promise written in your heart. God has given you, it's a given. The only thing is whether we trust Him. Okay? So the blessing as we give is that God will give to us. Okay? Next point. I'll just read this first. When you give to the Lord for His work, His people, to support the people in the ministry based on Philippians 4, sacrificially with a heart of love for God and His work, God will provide your needs. In Proverbs 11:24, I believe it might be in your passage, there is that scattereth and yet increases. I'm giving you a lot of Bible verses. There is that scattereth and yet increases. In other words, there's a situation, there's a strange situation that the more you give, the more you increased. But there is that withholdeth more than is necessary by tenders to poverty. When we start keeping for ourselves, you realize it starts to rot. How many of you have tried to buy food and overstock your fridge? How many of you have thrown food out before? Well, actually, it was very good. But you bought it until you forgot that it's expired. Now, sometimes you try to keep more than it's needed. Remember the manna in the wilderness? God says, don't collect, just collect enough for that day. What did some kiasu Israelites do? Kind of like Singaporeans. They collect for 2 days, and what happened? The second day, all the manna stank. You know the principle there? God says, trust me, I will provide. But you need to trust me. Okay, point number three. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Point number three. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both will minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown. What Paul indicates here is what is known as the law of the harvest. The law of the harvest. The law of the harvest states that you will always receive more than you give, or rather the increase will be multiplied as you sow. Okay? It's a principle of scripture, a principle of life. No fact is more significant and sobering than this one. When we sow good, we bountifully receive from the hand of God, who was a debtor to no man, because the harvest is always greater than the seed planted. You can settle seed, but you know what? The whole field grows out. Why? Because it's the law of the harvest. When you sow, there will be a multiplication. Christians, can I say, don't be discouraged when you don't see results, because the law of the harvest will kick in. We will reap if we what? Faint not. We will reap if we faint not. Okay? One of the examples I can give you, George Mueller was praying for someone to be saved. He was praying for a long time, and the prayer wasn't answered. George Mueller passed away. 5 years later, the person whom he prayed for trusted Christ. The timing of God's answered prayer is not determined by the length of our life. It's determined by when it is in His calendar. And that's where we need to learn to trust God. Okay? That's where we need to learn to trust the Lord. So for myself as a young teenager, I often thought on the boy who gave the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How did it multiply? So I thought, if I win one person to Christ and the person becomes a missionary, he goes on to win 1,000 for Christ, that's multiplied already. You realize everyone that you reach for Christ may reach someone else? And through that starting point, you will keep on multiplying. You keep on multiplying. Christians, your giving will multiply. Your giving will multiply. But are we willing to give in the first place? But I want to warn you about something. The law of the harvest means that when you sow something, it will be multiplied many times over. It is right in the area of good. When you sow good, it will be multiplied. When you sow the wrong things, it will also be multiplied many times over. It will be. I'll give you an example of this. I think this is a very, very apt description of this principle. Jonathan Edwards, some of you will know Jonathan Edwards. He was a very godly man, hated by a few people because he stood firmly. At the time of Jonathan Edwards, many of them believed that as long as you are born in a Christian family, you're safe. You don't need salvation, you can just join the church. Jonathan Edwards said, no. Everyone must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He was kicked out of the church. All right? But some of you may know this, but look at what happened to his descendants. Through his godly life, what happened? It produced 1 U.S. vice president, 3 U.S. senators, 3 governors, 3 mayors, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 65 professors, 80 public office holders, 100 lawyers, and 100 missionaries that came from his life, his descendants, one godly life. And at the end, he even produced one vice president. In his whole life, he produced missionaries. Many of them were preachers from his line. On the contrary, there was another man. His name is Max Jukes. His descendants, he lived a life of sin. You know what was his descendant? 7 murderers, 60 thieves, 50 prostitutes, 130 convicts, 330 paupers, people who are very poor, and they are always living in those shelter houses, and 400 whose lives was wrecked because of alcohol and drugs. That was the lifeline. Now, I used this many years ago in teaching parents, what are we investing in our children? Is it the things of this world? Then choose the line you want to go. But the Bible talks about the law of the harvest. What we sow will be multiplied many times over. And that is what Paul is praying for the Corinthian church, that as you give, I'm praying that God will multiply your seed sown. And then in verse 10, the next one, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. The blessing of giving is that your giving will be fruitful. Will be fruitful. Do you realize that those people who go out tracting every week, you're sowing seeds? You're sowing seeds? Received an article recently that the seed wasn't, the fruit didn't come until after 15 years. For us, many times, you know, the fruit may come in from quarters, but you know, you're just scattering the seed. Question is, how many people are scattering seeds now? You know who are the main people scattering seeds? Many of them are Pentecostal, charismatic people who don't even scatter the seed of the gospel. They just want people in the church. Yeah, some of them do live lives that reflect the Christianity of the Bible, but are we sowing seeds that will win people to Christ? God is not interested in crowds. He's interested in convicted people who will love Him. Dr. David Gibbs, I think there was one person who was saying there are many churches who are very big, but he made it clear, God is not interested in crowds. Just because a church is big doesn't mean it's a church. There's a difference between a crowd and a church. Is there not? Just because a lot of people doesn't mean everyone. If you read in the Bible in John chapter 6, many people followed Jesus, and Jesus said, look, you're following me because I fed you, because you could get out of me what you wanted. But when Jesus preached the doctrine of the living bread, guess what? Only 12 left over. Out of 5,000 people, everyone left except the disciples. Question for you, would you leave Christ as well? Would you leave Christ as well? When you have the benefit of the Word of God, Christian fellowship, would you leave Christ? But for those who are actively serving, the encouragement here, as you give, whether financially, if your time, God promises that although you go forth with weeping, and I know people who go out, they are tired. We're all tired. But can I just encourage those who still give? Your fruit will come. Maybe not in my life, but your fruit will come. Wouldn't it be a pleasant surprise when we stand in the courts of heaven and there's one, don't know who, will say, and standing before the Lord, and this man say, I don't know, I'm here today because I received this blue booklet. I'm here today because someone put a blue booklet on my door. I was going through a hard time, and when I realized Jesus could be my Savior, and you know, I'm saying that to encourage. And I think you all know what I mean. Laborers are still few. But you know what? Those who are giving their time, giving their effort to go, can I encourage you? God says, your giving will be fruitful. And Paul is praying for that. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. And Ambassador, I still remember the time when we first started, our offering was $6. It's very easy to do accounting that time. Those are just a few coins. It will come. God promised that. For those who were there at the beginning, you're still here, thank God. Keep being here until the Lord comes. Your blessing of giving is that your giving will be fruitful. Children's ministry, don't give up. Some people, many years later, may be a missionary because I was in the Kindy's class. And the teacher taught me the world needs Christ, and that stuck with me. And I went on to trust Christ and become a missionary. Parents, don't give up. As you invest and give to those people under you, God promises, if you do it out of a heart of love, allow God to give the increase. 1 Corinthians 3:6, I've planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. It is God who will give the increase. We are just servants. Okay? Point number 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. The next promise that God gave in blessing is this. The word "en" means to add, rich means to rich. God will add riches to us as we serve Him to keep us faithful. Did you know that? As you serve God, have you ever wondered why people who truly serve God keep on serving God for a long time? It's not because they are strong. It's because He is strong. You know, one of the hardest things right now, especially in serving the Lord, for all, many of us will know, teachers had a hard time trying to share the gospel. Those of you who are working in the services, sometimes you share the gospel, there's so much work, so much pressure. Right? A lot of pressure. Boss doesn't like it because it doesn't meet the bottom line. It's hard to serve. But we can continue to serve because God will keep us faithful if we will keep on giving. And it's something that as Christians we need to understand. I think I mentioned it 2 Fridays ago. Do you realize a person who truly serves God with God's strength, you will never get tired spiritually. You will get tired physically. Okay, you get old. You get tired. You can't see properly. But in your heart, you will be strong. You will be strong. I was listening recently to a message by a pastor. I like our church to listen to that. I tell you, it will break your heart. My tears were streaming down my eyes almost throughout the whole message about how this missionary gave his life. His grandfather went to the mission field. His father went to the mission field. His father, 3 generations of missionaries who went to difficult parts of the world. There was this old man at 85 years old that this preacher he was preaching, he was saying, this preacher at the age of 85 was cycling. Then he fell down. And then this grandfather who fell down looked at his son. He asked his son, "Son, do you think I'm growing old?" He's 85 years old. You think I'm growing old? But you know what? This preacher was illustrating the fact that when you serve God, spiritually you don't grow old. You realize spiritually you grow younger? Because the Bible says the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed. If you genuinely serve God with a heart, you will never give in. Why? Because we are not strong. But He is strong. And the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 11 that we become enriched in everything. In everything that you ever need to serve God in, whether it's a mental state, whether it's a heart, whether it's your social life, whether it's spiritually, God will enrich you so that you can be more bountiful in whatever you choose to serve God in. That is what Paul was telling the Corinthian church. When we serve the Lord and are willing, God will give us more areas to serve. And guess what? God will give us more strength, more grace, more resources. We started with rental, $580. That was because I could cut a good deal with my friend. And he was able to yak out deals. Today, ever since then, the next one in Delobo, we paid $1,005. Then later on, we're paying $3,000 here. And as we go to the new place, it's going to be $3,000, $4,000 for a long time. I don't know about you, but hopefully as we go along as a church, we can see that God was providing for us along the way. I was doing song leading and all that. God, I need a song leader. Tom, here he appeared. No, brother Mike first, then he appeared. Okay? And I pray, God, we need someone to constantly go out for tracks. And psh, then he appeared. You know where he found me? Playing with children in Zamong Park. God will provide and He will enrich us in everything to all bountifulness. God is not finished with Ambassador Baptist Church. If we are willing to continue, say, God, humble us. God, use us. God says, I will. But you need to give. Because cannot be when God gives us blessings, we don't give it out. You know why George Mueller was so blessed? George Mueller said, I could pray for a dollar when I was young in the faith. And when he reached about 70, 80 years old, he said, I can pray for $1 million. I know God will give. Not one cent went to himself. It was always to his orphanages, to missionaries. I believe it was Hudson Taylor who was supported by George Mueller. Do you realize how many missionaries George Mueller supported? Only by prayer. Not one cent went to himself. He could testify. There was a pastor who sat down with him. Those who do not know George Mueller, you must know him. A testimony of faith. You know what he had in his room? The pastor came in to interview him. He had one bed, one table, a lamp, his chair, and the Bible. Nothing else. He read the Bible four times every year. He meditated on the Bible four times every year. Cover to cover. And he says it is true that because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. His faith increased. He prayed. God used him. But you know the challenging thing? When he prayed, God gave. He gave to the people. God gave. He gave. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. When you give, God will keep on adding riches to us to keep us faithful. Christians, do you see that in your life? We need God to help us to see that individually and as a church. Brother Johnny, I can only do a little bit. Man, just do what you can. God is never asking us for what we don't have. Amen? God, don't say amen. God is never asking us for what we don't have. But God is just asking us for what we can do. Can you pray? Can you go? Can you give? Can you write? Can you email? Can you pass a check to someone? Yeah, you may be scared when you give. But can you give? Yes, you can. You know, one of the most... I remember this message from an evangelist who said, you know, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, did Jesus do everything? All Jesus did was raise Lazarus from the dead. You know what? He had to ask the people, said, take ye away the stone. Why? Couldn't Jesus do it? Yes, he can. But the lesson that this preacher was saying, and I believe with all my heart, God will not do for us what he knows we can and should do. God will not do for us what he knows what we can do and should do. Moving away the stone, we just have a couple of men like Brother Robin and Brother Song Ling and push away the stone. But none of the men can raise the dead. Only Jesus can. Is it possible that people are not being rich with the gospel? Christians, we need to give. You know, if you decide, God, help me to reach someone this year for you and disciple that person. Just one. If all of us just take up the challenge, you realize that God can multiply the church in 1 year. Just one person, just one. And just make sure that person grow in Christ, love Jesus, and then go out and win someone else. God will add the riches to keep us faithful. Point number six. The next point in the blessing of giving is this, verse 11 to 14, 2 Corinthians 9. The blessing that is that as you give, you actually become a blessing to others so that others may rejoice in your testimony. When I look at some of your lives, you are an encouragement to me. And I hope myself am to you too. Of the evidence of giving, may not be financially, because we take a principle here in this church, giving is absolutely private between you and God. Amen? Sometimes, as a pastor, I have the privilege of knowing certain things, but you know what, I'm not going to say that because it's still between the person and God. We don't, in some churches in Singapore, when you give, it's tax exempt. We don't believe that because when we give to God. We don't need tax exempt on that. We just trust God for that. But you know, as you give, it could be your life, it could be your time, it could be your effort in the VBS, it could be whatever. You know what? It becomes a blessing to someone. It becomes a blessing to someone. In 2 Corinthians 9:11, being enriched in all, everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. In other words, when Paul saw the Corinthian church was giving, one of the things that would happen is that they thank God. You know why they thank God? Because as preachers, as Apostle Paul, there is nothing greater joy in his heart than when he see the people whom he's trying to reach live for Jesus Christ and be willing to give as God directs them to. Does that make sense? So when a Christian grows in Christ and starts giving, the person who is involved in helping that person grow
he will give thanks.
He will be encouraged. Do you realize that when you start giving with your heart, you encourage someone else? I know sometimes we don't think about this, but I want us to think about this. Someone is always looking at your life. Someone is always looking at your life. And you know what? You have an opportunity to be a blessing to someone else. Even if you don't know about it. Even if you don't know about it. I wish I brought the testimony. I think I shared before, there was one man who stood at a street corner in Sydney without fail for 40 years giving out tracts. 40 years giving out tracts. And there was one person who got saved, but this person didn't know about it. And he was in England. And then he began to share with, here, I also had the same, there's this guy who gave, same street for 40 years. No one came to tell him about his work. Now when he was about 80, I believe, or 90, a pastor actually made effort to find this person who stood at the street corner for 40 years, giving out tracts. And then when this pastor finally nailed him down in the seat, apparently the local pastors actually know him. Actually, when this pastor told him of the number of testimonies of people getting saved because someone in the street of Sydney was giving out tracts. You know, when he heard how many people got saved, his tears rolled out and said, no one has ever told me about this until you. But thank God for a faithful man, 40 years giving out tracts. No one told him the result. His life was a thanksgiving. You know why he's mentioned now? Because the Bible says his righteousness will remain forever. When you do the right thing, moms and dads, you will be remembered in the mind of your child. Even though they may not like you now, they will remember what you have done sacrificially for them. Amen? You know what God says? When you are willing to give, you become a blessing to others who will thank you. Three things that the people will be thankful for based on this passage. I'll just go through a bit so that you can understanding what Paul is trying to say. In verse 11, I say, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints. See, Paul wanted to increase the reasons why we can thank God. He says, the administration of this service refers to the fact that as they were collecting the money, the administration of the service, they're collecting the money, it not only supplied the one of the saints, but is also abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. Once again, he repeat the thanksgiving. But in verse 13, the experiment of this administration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. That simply means the people will be thankful for your genuine faith. When the people in Jerusalem who are Jews, remember a few messages ago I said that in order to give, you must not have a prejudiced heart. The Jewish people in Jerusalem who is suffering need are now receiving offerings from the Gentile church. They then begin to make the connection. God is reaching them as well. And they thank God for their subjection to the gospel. In other words, for their genuine faith in Christ. Because, listen carefully, Christians, real, genuine faith in Christ will give. There is no other way. You know why? Because God gives and gives and gives and gives and gives. Because He is the great I Am, He is not sustained by anyone, but He sustains everyone. Amen? Our God who loves us so much, He is the source of gifts and He is the giver. And so when we give, we become a blessing and people can see, hey, something happened in the life of this. I've heard of Christians who before they were, have you known people who before they go, I go to church, all they ask for is money. But when they become Christian, they start giving. You know why? As a Christian, you give. That's just an attribute of God. And though we want to be godly, we give. Okay, that's one. Another thing that people will be thankful for is for your generous gift. In verse 13, they glorify God for your professed objection to the gospel and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. When you give people in their times of need, you can be assured people will be thankful. How many times, as a family for us, we've been blessed by ambassadors because someone blessed us. And you know, it's interesting. We have received things at times of our need. Someone just chose to be a blessing. I will only find out at the day of judgment. Hopefully you will only find out at the day of judgment how God has moved people to give, that our church might keep moving on. And number three, people will also be praying for a greater work to be done in our lives, greater grace of work to be done in our lives. In verse 14, and by their prayer for you, which desire or long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. What Paul is saying here is there are people praying as you bless them with your gift. They are praying, God, bless that individual. God, may God's grace continue to be on them. Isn't that the heart of gratefulness? Sometimes when people bless you, you say, thank you so much, brother. I pray that God will richly enrich you and bless you. That's what Paul wanted. I know Paul wasn't concerned about the gift itself. He's concerned that God's grace will work in that person's life so that he can grow. Paul didn't have much to give. Financially, he didn't have much property. But you know what? He can pray. And when he prays, God answers. That person will suddenly be blessed. You know? Question for us, is our life a thanksgiving item to God? Think about that for a while. Is our life a thanksgiving item? That when people think about us, thank God for that person. I had a friend, his name is Kayu. Not K-A-Y-U. It's Lefri Kayu. His name is K-A-R-Y-E-W. And teens don't use that around. I know they always latch on to this. But Kayu was a sincere Christian. And what, there was one time when we were just in our JC time, we were just talking, and he said, he came up to me, he knows he's very thin, his face is kind of like small and round, kind of looks like Mickey Mouse. Really, he's a very nice guy, but that's his description. He's a thick glasses, eyes a bit big, you know, really thin, and he walks around like this. Nice Christian, and he said, no, Johnny, he asked me this question, Johnny, we sing the song, you know the song, I love you with the love of the Lord. I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King. So he asked me as we were going out shaking hands in the Christian gathering, he said, Johnny, do you see the glory of God in me? I see your thick glasses. You know, as a sincere Christian, you know, I think I share with you some things that stuck in my mind. You know, when he asked me that, isn't that a real question? Do you see the glory of God in me? And as you live your Christian life, does people see the glory of God in your life? Well, your life is tough. It was tough for Christ, amen? It was tough to go to the cross. It was tough to live in those conditions where the Bible says the foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have not a place to lay his head. It was tough. But yet, people flock to Christ. Why? I think one of the reasons is because He loved them. And He reached out to them. Christian, maybe we can be like Kayu. Don't be Kayu, but be like Kayu who asks sincerely, do you see the glory of Christ in my life? Because Paul said, the blessing of giving is that you become a blessing to others. And he's telling the Corinthian church, when you give, you are causing the brethren to be thankful for you. The Christians see God's glory in us. Final point. The blessing will be, in verse 15, you will bring glory to the gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. After telling all the blessings, Paul just cannot get away from his main object of his life. Who's that? Lord Jesus Christ. He just cannot get away from the fact that, look, I can tell you all these blessings, but you know what the greatest blessing? God's unspeakable gift in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul explodes into a praise for God's unspeakable gift. As Paul teaches this whole area of giving, he gives thanks for the best gift of all, that all know the gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us have the gift of eternal life. When was the last time you gave thanks to God for that? No, Paul, every time you look at his writings, every time he will give praise to the center of his life, Lord Jesus Christ. The unspeakable gift here means unutterable. There is no language in the human tongue that can ever explain or can ever describe the awesome love of Christ on the cross when he lived in this world. When the love of Christ is great because God is great. Because the love of Christ is centered in the character of God. He is love. His character is love. He is perfect. He is love. He is great. And he's unspeakable because of that. And for God, the gift of eternal life, when the Lord Jesus Christ came and suffered for men, it was great because you and I can never understand what Jesus Christ went through for us. And Paul says, look, I can never understand. That's unspeakable. The love of Christ is so unspeakable because when I realize what he went through for me, what word can I actually give back to him? You know what Paul says? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Gave himself for me. He is unspeakable because of the inexpressible love that God gave evidence. Do you realize the cross is God's judgment against sin? But it's God's, I read a title of John 3:16. The cross is the pulpit of God's love. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the pulpit of God's love. You know what? God didn't have to preach. He just had to demonstrate. For God so loved the word that he gave. You know what? God's love is unspeakable. His gift is unspeakable because of the inexpressibly great benefits. It is because of the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I will never taste the fires of hell. It is because of the expression of God's love at the cross, your sin in the past will never again be brought out. Amen? How many of you would want your sins to be? It is because of God's unspeakable gift at the cross, you and I, the sins, if we have truly trusted Christ as our Savior, will never again be brought to human thought, neither in God's mind. For as far as the east is from the west, so have I separated your sins from you. It's because of God. Because of God's inexpressible gift that we don't deserve, you and I have the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life on a daily basis. And I was here, the power of Almighty God within you to live a life glorifying to God. There is no bad habit you cannot overcome. There is no bad influence you cannot say no to. And there is nothing in your life that God, when you go through, that you cannot overcome. The unspeakable gift of God. We owe God our highest praise, do we not? When we give, when we sacrifice, when we realize the blessings of our giving, when we realize we will never outgive God, we need to have the attitude that, God, I'm giving because you, through your Son, have taught me to give. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. When we give, we are giving glory to the unspeakable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we give, we are saying, don't look at me, I'm giving. I'm giving because of what Jesus has done for me. I'm willing to help you because of what Jesus has helped me with. I'm just giving what God has given to me. As we close, do you realize the blessing of giving today, Christian? Or are you just living life? Let me just read two quotes. The scripture teach that happiness of the Christian in the future life will be greater or less in proportion to how much you give to Christ in this life. Those who love little, do little, and those who love little will do little, and those who do little will enjoy less. One day in heaven will pay you, yea, will overpay you. Some of you who sacrifice by your giving in blood, in bonds, in sorrow, in sufferings, in your possessions as you give. This person says that when you give so much in this life, the angels in heaven will have a hard time understanding the amount of blessings God is going to pour on you. When the angels will know, God, you're giving to the worm, those who came on Friday night. You're giving to the worms all these blessings. I will end with this thought. George Mueller had a charitable fund. You know charitable fund? You know when George Mueller lived in the 1800s, close to 1900s, and he lived by faith, as he gave, as he prayed, God gave. Do you realize that fund continued, that the charities and organizing orphanages continued all the way to the year 2000 plus. And it became what we call the George Mueller Charitable Fund. The goal of this charitable fund is so that they will continue to support old folks' homes. Last time they were for orphanages, now they're because of the aging population, right? Now they can support the old folks. No, as much as time begin to grow on, the George Mueller Charitable Fund was finally closed last year, 2012. You know what's the sad thing? As I thought on this, is it a sign of the times that people will become so self-centered that we no longer believe in giving God our faith? Christian, is it a time of selfishness and the neglect of the spiritual? Will giving and trust and faith also close in your life? George Mueller lived about 100 years ago. The fund that he tried to sustain closed last year. Christian, how long will it be before your giving to God closed? And you know what? It is not how much you give. It is actually how much you love. I'll close with this final thought. It is not how much you give, but it is actually how much you love. Because the amount you give is determined by how much you love. You know how much God loves us? Can we say John 3:16 together? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know how much God loved us? He loved us so much, He was willing to give us His best. He only had one son. He gave us His best. Christian, can we do anything less? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the blessing of giving. Thank You, Father, that through this particular passage, we learn how Paul wanted to encourage the sluggish giving, Lord, of the Corinthian church. And Father, therein there are lessons for us that when we give, You have given us so many blessings to encourage us. That when we give, Lord, we will bless others. When we give, Lord, You will meet our needs. When we give, Lord, You will increase our fruitfulness. When You give, Lord, more people can know Christ. When You give, Lord, we give praise to the glory of the greatest giver in the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father. And even up to today, Lord, You are still giving. You are giving us grace for every step of the way. You are giving salvation to anyone who will call upon You. You are giving strength for all those who need to overcome temptation. You are giving purpose to those who do not have any meaning in life. You are giving the supplies of material needs to the poor. And Father, You are giving hope to this dying world with the second coming of Christ. You are still giving, Lord. And Lord, we pray today in Ambassador that we will see what it means to be blessed when we give. With your eyes closed, heads bowed, I just want to ask one question. Do you realize the blessing of giving? Maybe this simple question. Would you be able to ask someone, Lord, or rather this someone, do you see the glory of Christ in me? Say, Brother Johnny, pray for me that the glory of Jesus Christ will shine through my life in every aspect of my life, my words, my attitudes, my service, my relationships, everything, Lord, that we do.
will give you glory. Is there anyone who said, God, I want, amen, I see that hand. Anyone else? Amen, I see that hand too. Oh, the sincere Christians, I know that we all want to do right, but you know what? It all begins with the first step. Is there anyone else? Rajani, pray for me that the glory of Christ may be shown in my life, that people can say, I can see Jesus in your life. Not just to say, but in real terms. Is there anyone else? Amen, I see that hand too. I wonder, is there anyone? I want to see the glory of Christ in me. Is there anyone else? Let's pray. Father, I pray for these three brethren who have put up their hands. Father, the action of putting up their hands represents their heart. I ask you, Lord, to do a mighty work, a changing work, a work that they have never understood. That, Lord, when they choose to follow you, Lord, there will be times that it's going to be grindingly tough, because as a diamond taken out from the sides of a hill needs to be brushed off for the shine to come, I pray, Lord, you do all you need to do in this brethren's life to let the glory of Jesus be shown in their lives. Father, for the rest of us, Lord, give us that willingness to allow you to change us for the glory of God. Father, thank you for the unspeakable gift in the Lord Jesus Christ, that because of him, Lord, we will never need to face the fires of hell. Because of him, our sins will never again be brought up. Because of him, we have the presence, comfort, and strengthening of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, moment by moment. Lord, we praise you for the unspeakable gift. I pray for everyone, Lord, who need Christ to be the center of their lives, that today, Lord, they will make that decision in their hearts as you extend your grace to them, that they will appropriate it, they will receive it into their lives and make it real. As only between you and them, I'm just an instrument, Lord, but we thank you that you, as you touched the 3,000, as you touched the 5,000, as you touched every Christian in the Bible, and Christian throughout the ages who lived for you and died for you, I know, Lord, your Holy Spirit can change us today. So we thank you, Lord, as we close, we pray your richest blessings on everyone as we sing just a closing hymn. May your name be honored, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.